You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
Hi, good morning. I don't know if you're feeling stressed today. COVID-19 has brought so many pressures to so many. For some, it's the stress of juggling work and homeschooling and busy houses. For others, it can be the stress of just loneliness and isolation. Uncertainty about the future and the inability to see loved ones. It's all very stressful, isn't it? And there's little unexpected stresses we all face as well. For me, it's the challenge of filming these messages. First time I recorded it, about 15 minutes in, somebody rang me. And I started again. Then after another 15 minutes, Hayley brought me a cup of tea. So I installed a red light, recording light on my shed. And the third time was a classic. Behind the shed is an unmade road. And when I got 15 minutes in, two old ladies who already forgotten to put their deaf aids in were shouting behind me. Not talking, they were shouting at each other. And a particular poignant moment, I had one of them say, "You never guess what happened to me last night. I lost my false teeth in my bed." Her false teeth had fallen out. I don't know if it was picked up on the mic, but there was no more recording that day. Today we continue to explore the various spiritual disciplines in our series entitled People of the Way. Jesus said, "I'm the way." And in this series, we want to center everything around Jesus and what it means to be followers of Jesus. And to do this, we're exploring various ways, or what are known as spiritual disciplines, that help Christians be the people of the way. And as we said, these aren't sets of rules that Jesus loves us more if we fulfill. Their practices, and they help us focus on the person himself, the way, the truth, and the life. They're simple yet profound and powerful practices that help us grow spiritually and help us better radiate the love and compassion and light of Jesus into the world. And today's discipline is Sabbath rest. And I want us to look at three aspects of Sabbath rest: physical, emotional, and spiritual rest. Bible bulges with wisdom about rest that our culture seems to be crying out for, if only it could see it. The Sabbath rest the Bible talks about is super relevant for us now. We need to remember it, or enter into it, as the Bible says, and positively pursue a way of life that embraces it. It creates health and growth and flourishing in our lives, and ultimately leaks out to our families and relationships and communities. So what is Sabbath rest? Well, the word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which means to rest or stop or cease from work. The origin of it comes back from the creation story. After creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days, God rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made in Genesis 2:2. It doesn't mean he was tired. Instead, God used the example of his rest to establish the principle of Sabbath day rest for his people. Then in Exodus and in Deuteronomy, God gave one of the Ten Commandments that his people should remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. One day out of seven, they were to rest from their labours and give that same day of rest to their servants and to their animals. So whatever work they're engaged with, they should stop for a full day. In the time of Jesus' ministry on earth, the religious leaders had made Sabbath hard work. It created all sorts of rules for what was seen as work and what wasn't seen at work, and laid heavy burdens on people. See it in John chapter 5, 1-16, where Jesus meets a sick man at the pool of Bethsaida, where people believed at that time it had healing properties. And Jesus says to him, "What, do you want to be well?" And the man explains he couldn't find healing in the pool. So Jesus heals him, and then specifically and provocatively says, "Pick up your mat and walk." Religious leaders who had made the Sabbath all about what they did and didn't do were in uproar because Jesus had told the man to break what was deemed one of the Sabbath rules. And it was uproar because they misunderstood God's intention for Sabbath. Growing up, one of my best friends was a Jew, and on the Sabbath day, his house, there was no work done. Lights couldn't be switched on because it was deemed as work. So they had timers. You couldn't turn on a cooker, so food was put into the slow cooker. Also had a Christian who came from a very strict religious family who couldn't watch TV on a Sunday and couldn't listen to music or go out and have fun. But I want to suggest that Sabbath rest is not so much about stop doing something, but creating space to do something else. It's not about legalism and rules, but about liberty and freedom and fullness and completion and flourishing that's found in following Jesus' ways. The Bible Project have produced a brilliant video that gives a big picture overview of Sabbath through the Old Testament in the Bible, how it culminates in Jesus. I couldn't say any better. So I've asked them and they kindly said I can share you. It's 5 minutes. I love it because it beautifully links Sabbath with Haley's favourite number and the biblical and powerful idea of Jubilee. So let's watch it now. It's just 5 minutes long.
The number seven is a big deal in the Bible.
Yeah, in biblical Hebrew, the word seven is connected to the idea of fullness or completeness.
And that's something we all long for, but don't often experience. Instead, we find ourselves working endlessly, fighting back chaos with no real rest.
Yes. Now keep all that in mind as we turn to Genesis 1 in the Bible. It begins with darkness and disorder, but then God speaks to bring about light and order so that life can flourish.
And this happens over the course of 6 days.
Each day is marked with the phrase, there was evening and there was morning. But on the seventh day, something special happens.
God stops and rests.
Right. Creation is brought to its completion on the seventh day. And that phrase, there was evening and there was morning, it doesn't appear on day seven.
It's like a day with no end.
On the seventh day, God's presence fills his creation. The land provides for all of God's creatures, including humans, who are appointed to rule the world with God forever.
Kings and queens of the seventh day rest. I can get into that.
But the humans are deceived by a dark power, and they forfeit that rest. They're exiled into the wilderness, where they have to work as slaves to the land.
Until they die and return to the dust from which they came.
But God wants to restore humanity back to that seventh day rest. So he chooses to give the family of Israel that experience of ultimate rest so they can share it with others.
But how? They're in Egypt, slaves to an oppressive empire who's grinding them into the dust.
So God confronts Egypt and he liberates the Israelites, taking them through the darkness and chaos on the way to the promised land.
Now while they're on their way, they find themselves in the wilderness. It's easy to get lost. Life is a struggle. They're not in the land of rest yet.
But while they're on the way, God invites them in the wilderness to start living as if they're in the promised land.
But how do you practice the future rest in the wilderness?
Well, God tells them that every seventh day, they are to stop their work, or in Hebrew, to Shabbat, so that they can rest and enjoy God's good world.
So take a whole day to live as if the ultimate rest has already come.
Yeah, this is the Sabbath, celebrated every week on the seventh day. But there's more. The Sabbath is just one of seven festivals that Israel practiced every year, each one anticipating that seventh day rest.
That is a lot of sevens.
And there's even more. Every 7 years, the Israelites were to liberate slaves, forgive debts, and let the land rest for a whole year. And then, every 7 times 7 years was the ultimate seventh day rest, called the Year of Jubilee. If anyone had lost their land or gone into debt, all was forgiven, everything restored.
Wow, so the Sabbath, these feasts, the Year of Jubilee, it's all pointing towards the hope of future rest.
Right. Now, when the Israelites went into the land, they forgot their God, and so they forfeited their chance for rest in the promised land.
They're exiled and enslaved again by an oppressive nation, led back into a world of chaos and disorder.
But Israel's prophets said that their exile would end one day, and that the ultimate jubilee of freedom and rest would come, but generations go by, and they're still waiting.
It's at this dark point in the story that Jesus appears, and he launches his public mission on a Sabbath day.
Yeah, he read aloud from the scroll of Isaiah, saying that it was time for all captives and slaves to be released because this was the year of the Lord's favor.
What did he mean, this is the year of the Lord's favor?
He was talking about the ultimate jubilee.
Also, Jesus is claiming that seventh-day rest would come through him.
Right, he said that he was the Lord of the Sabbath, and he confronted disorder and darkness in all of its forms, liberating people from sickness, sin, even from death itself.
Yet, Jesus was killed, so even his work was undone.
Well, it seemed that way. But notice, Jesus timed his death to take place at the end of the week. His body rested in a tomb during the Sabbath, and on the eighth day, he rose from the dead.
Oh wait, the eighth day? You mean the first day of a new week.
Exactly. Jesus' resurrection was like the first day of a new creation, where God's light and life broke into the darkness.
So because of the resurrection, we have hope in God's promise of future rest. But we're not there yet. It's like we're still in the wilderness, where we experience struggle and pain.
But as we journey towards that ultimate seventh day, Jesus invites us to experience a taste of real rest now by following him. Or in his words, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest."
Wasn't that good? Such a great overview of what the Bible teaches about Sabbath and Sabbath rest that culminates in Jesus and that simple promise that he makes to his followers. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Jesus in the Gospels declares himself as the Lord of the Sabbath, very provocatively. And the Lord of the Sabbath is the one who is saying, come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So let me share three aspects of Sabbath rest. They're very simple. First is physical rest. If God rested, if Jesus withdrew to rest, we need physical rest too. There's great wisdom in resting. One day in seven, taking holidays, limiting our time at work. For many, it's hard. For me, it's hard, if I'm honest. Years ago, I read a chapter in a book about adrenaline addiction and realised I was a junkie. If I'm honest, I still have junkie tendencies, always trying to squeeze too much into my day. Good things into my day, running from one high to the next, hating others forever, telling me to stop. I try to listen. I do take days off each week. I do take holidays, but I'm still a work in progress. I suppose included in physical rest is exercise and eating well and meeting friends and enjoying nature and finding recreation that literally recreates us. It's so important. We all need physical rest. So part of considering this spiritual discipline is very practical to take a stock of where you are. Do you get enough physical rest? Is there enough in your life? You might want to press pause and have a think right now. Second type of rest is emotional rest. We don't only need physical rest, but emotional rest. Our emotions are alive and active all day. Our hearts swell with positive emotions when little kids speak for the first time or make their first steps or pedal on their bike for the first time or pass their exam or sing on a stage. There's also negative emotions, aren't there? Anger rises when teenagers talk back to us. We're frustrated when people leave things around the house, food wrappers or clothes on the floor. That's one of my gripes. Hearts sink when a teacher rings and says there's an incident in school. And add to that, there's a whole set of unique things about COVID-19. Family members are sick and we can't visit. We're furloughed. We're feeling all sorts of things every day. If you like, we're withdrawing from an emotional bank account every day. One of my heroes, Bridget Berry, who ran parenting course for years, talks about how we need to refill our jugs. Every day we pour out a bit of ourselves in all sorts of ways. If we don't replenish our emotional bank account, we end up with nothing to give, end up exhausted or burnt out or hopeless. So we need to learn to recognise our emotional fatigue levels and seek rest. Dr. Sandra Dalton-Smith in her book Sacred Rest describes emotional fatigue like this. We each day have an internal capacity to manage emotions. We pour out of this space as we offer sympathy to a friend who just lost a husband, console a tearful toddler, or encourage our co-worker with a job well done. And each interaction gives a bit of ourselves. And when our emotional withdrawals exceed our emotional capacity, we experience emotional fatigue. We need to recognise and monitor our emotional levels and when we need to rest. Otherwise, before we get to that point of exhaustion, having emotions is what makes us human. Emotions connect us. They protect us. They give us a sense of self. Our emotions are often dictate our choices, though, and our decision making. When our emotions are healthy, our decisions are more sound and thought through. When they're out of control, we can make decisions based on reaction instead of careful thought. And rest gives us the opportunity to process our emotions and begin to regulate them so that our default responses are ones that have a positive outcome. So the goal is not to avoid our emotions, but to give our bodies and minds the proper rest so that we need so that we can experience emotions in a healthy way and function at our optimum level. So how do you know if you're needing an emotional rest? What are some of the signs? Well, you might have a lack of ability to feel emotional or as emotional as you once did, or feel emotionally numb. You might focus on your failures and flaws all the time. You might
regularly feel self-doubt or insecurity that stops you trying new things. You might easily get distracted and struggle to focus, or get disappointed and angry with yourself over small things. You might lash out at the kids or your spouse or others in your life. If any of these sounds familiar, it could be that you need some emotional rest. So how do you do that? Well, take an emotional inventory. Are there events or people in your life who drain you emotionally? You may not be able to completely eliminate them, but you can minimize some of those emotional stresses in your life. Maybe you need to stop comparing yourself with others, changing yourself to fit in, or trying to act in a way that that others want is extremely emotionally draining. Instead, just be yourself, embrace who you are, write a list of the things you're good at. Nothing's too small to add to that list. If you need to, you may even stay away from social media for a while, just so you're not comparing yourself the whole time. Another thing, you might want to just take 15 minutes for yourself. Or you might want to risk vulnerability. You won't, like, doesn't work every time, but being vulnerable is so powerful. Why don't you open up to a trusted friend or a family member? And that first step is a way of becoming emotionally restful connection. And if you feel emotionally exhausted or hopeless for days and can't seem to function in your daily role, why not get some help? Ask a friend or get in touch with the office, and we can point you to a therapist or a counsellor. I found such support invaluable. It's not a sign of weakness or failure to ask for help. So what's the third area of rest? I want to suggest it's spiritual rest. In addition to physical, emotional rest, we need spiritual rest. Come to me, all who labour and are heavy laden, that I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, says Jesus in Matthew 11. The simplicity of Jesus' promise is both striking and refreshing. Jesus doesn't offer us a fourfold path to peace-giving enlightenment like Buddha did, or doesn't give us five pillars of peace through submission like Islam does, nor does it give us 10 ways to relieve your weariness, which our pragmatic, self-help oriented 21st century people are so drawn to. Unique to anyone else in history, Jesus simply offers himself as the solution to all that burdens us. He simply says, come to me. The writer of Hebrews devotes the whole of chapter 4 to God's people entering Sabbath rest. What is this spiritual rest? Well, it's a deep soul rest, a deep peace in our souls. It's no longer trying to make God love us more. It's not about being guilty or dragged down with guilt. It's about finding grace. It's like the prodigal son, exhausted, ashamed, broken in many ways, comes back to his father and doesn't hear condemning, shameful words from his father, but hears positive words. Let me read it to you. The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to him, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He's lost and he's found. So Sabbath isn't about rules and regulations, it's about making space to enter into a new way of rest that includes physical rest, emotional rest, and above all, spiritual rest in the arms of a heavenly Father who wants to be with us. With Jesus who says, come to me, I'll take the load. And open our hearts to the Holy Spirit, the dove of peace, to live within us. So why don't you take stock about your view of Sabbath rest? Are you physically having enough rest? Emotionally, how are you doing? Do you need to have emotional rest? Do you need to have some help with some negative emotions? And finally, spiritual rest. It might be that you have never come to know Jesus, but you've been listening in to these messages at these times. Well, I want to say that Jesus is here right now. He's with you wherever you are right now and wants to offer you peace with himself. He wants you to come to know him. That's why he is here. And we at Jubilee would love to help you come to know him. But even right now, wherever you are, he can make himself known to you. And it's simply to ask him to come into our hearts and make peace with him. We say sorry for the things we've done We're going to give up trying to make God love us better. And we're going to just receive that gift of grace, receive that peace that he offers, receive that gift of life and rest in him. And it's simple as saying, Jesus, come into my life. I want to be open to you. I want to be aware of your work in my life. And I want to know the peace that you talked about. So even right now, you might want to just make a simple prayer. Lord Jesus, come. I'm feeling burdened. I'm feeling tired. I'm feeling weary in this life. But I want to know peace. And I want to know rest. That's physically, emotionally and spiritually. And so I ask you, help me in that. It's a simple prayer. You might want to make it now. So Sabbath, a powerful idea. Sabbath rest, a principle that we can imbibe in our lives. Physical rest, emotional rest. Above all, spiritual rest, making peace with God. That's what Sabbath rest is all about. Hope you found that helpful. I'd really encourage you to take a moment right now and just take stock. How am I doing? And Jesus, you'll find, is saying, come to me and I will give you rest. See you next week.